Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of the sport of Sports Time Radio, not the Sports Time Radio, but of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and with me, hey, finally, we're back together. It's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, shoot on over to sportstimeradio.com. You know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Well, keep checking out. I've been keeping up over there, even though I was sick. You know, like I said before, it's not hard to sit in front of the computer and type. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find me on Twitter at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at...
Dan C. Man with three E's.
All right. So, you know, what's funny is, you know, we haven't really talked about anything in a while, but not too much is... actually happened. I did want to start off. I was wondering what your, you know, Stu and I talked a little bit about it on Friday. What's your take on an 82-game Major League Baseball season starting on July 4th?
Well, I'm going to assume that's a date you guys picked, but how patriotic would that be, huh?
No, that came out through baseball. That's the plan that the owner sent to the players.
Oh, wow. I mean, I'm good with it as long as they don't – if they pull that three-division crap, then it really doesn't mean much to me. You know, I mean, it's – like you've discussed, where we – many of the time the – you know, the – I don't know what the best term is, the unimportance of the interleague play, how much it really doesn't factor in, is one thing. But, you know, another part of it is, like, that's enough. You know, I think everyone's pretty accepting of that. It does bring a cool aspect to the game. I just think they could do it better. But, you know, the other part of it is I don't know if baseball has enough on its plate as it is with the fact that you know, the 2017 and 2018 World Series champs cheated and baseball has done nothing about it. So, I mean, if you were to take three divisions and mix up and, you know, the Cubs, Sox, Brewers, and all those teams are in one league. And you know, the way it works, I don't know. It adds to taking away more from the game to me. So, I mean, if they go that route, it's just kind of dumb. And of course I'll say I'm going to boycott it, but I'll still end up watching it. But I mean, it has absolutely no meaning. You might as well just pretend like it's spring training for now through October, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'll watch it. I mean, you know, at this point, it's to the point where it almost doesn't matter what they do. I'm going to watch whatever they decide to throw out just because it's baseball. But, yeah, I just don't feel they're going to get enough games in to give us an honest-to-goodness champion. I mean, we're playing one game over a half a season. You know, and it's just – It's not going to be, you know, enough games. And, you know, like Stu and I were talking on Friday, you know, if your team gets off to a bad start, you know, you could be dead in the water 20 games into the season because you just don't have enough time to make it up.
Yeah, or... you could be the 2013 Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And then,
so,
you know,
I mean,
if a team hits that mark and goes 20 some odd games winning streak, you know, the first person I'll interview about that is, right?
Who?
LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. So, you know, how did that go? How did you guys do this? So,
yeah. So, no, I mean, I still think it'll be fun. It'll be competitive. But at the same time, it just – if they go that route, you know, that was just kind of a dumb idea thrown out there. And, you know, hopefully it was just that. But I'm glad that they finally proposed to the players like an 82 game instead of trying to squeeze 120 games over that amount of time, which, I mean, I get it. You've got to throw every, you know, if we were in the meetings, you know, you've got to put everything on the table, right? So
I
get that portion of it. You know, you got to put everything out there. You got to weigh your pros and cons, you know, a la Friends, you know, just don't say that Rachel has chubby ankles. Where she's just a waitress, but you know, you got to put all that out there. But you know, for some of that, I don't know if it was leaked or just provided, but the fact that some of the media takes this stuff on and rolls with it like it's what's going to happen, I don't know. I think that's what is irritating to maybe more me, any fan and all, because I, you know, when you kind of put things out there like that. Some of the writers are basically telling the fans that they're stupid, you know, and you don't have any understanding of the game, and this is what they're going to give you. Did you kind of feel that way too with some of the stuff that came out? It's like you're dogging the fans, and you know, not all of them are 7-year-old kids, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, in reality, most baseball fans aren't 7-year-old kids anymore because they can't find anything to attract that audience. But
I'm
to the point now where I just kind of end up blowing that stuff off when they start talking like that. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, it doesn't mean anything. But yeah, I would like to see them get something finalized because, you know, obviously they're going to go back to spring training for, you know, a couple weeks because obviously you just can't jump right in and start the season. So, you know, they need to get this wrapped up. They sent the proposal to the players union, I think it was last week. So we'll have to see. And, you know, obviously there was some, you know, some shady stuff in there from the owners. You know, they want to, you know, they wanted some kind of salary cap, and then they wanted a 50-50 revenue split. So there's, you know, there's going to be financial stuff that they hammer out, and they did decide the DH is going to be universal, which I think once that gets in, it's going to stay in. You know, even though it's not, it's not collectively bargained yet, but I think once we start using it, I just don't know why they would even bother going back from it.
I mean, if it's all accepted, I mean, will you, you know, as far as that part goes, are you pretty just like over it and want them to just make that damn decision already? Like, either implement it or don't and just be done with it?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think you and I have known for years now that it's going to happen. I just don't understand what the holdup is with it. And you can't tell me you can't go in and reopen the collective bargaining agreement and add this. You know, and the only thing I can think of is maybe the owners want something in return and they're not getting it because I know, you know, that's how our labor contract works with my union. You know, you give us this, we'll take this off the table, or, you know, we'll take this off the table if you give us this. But, yeah, I mean, you know, at this point with the way they bastardized interleague play, you know, just make the damn thing universal. I mean, you know, everybody's used to it. You know, and I mean, obviously the biggest plus to it is I don't have to listen to the idiots on TV go, well, oh, God, I can't believe a pitcher has to hit or he has to run the bases. Oh, my God, that's just such an injustice that, you know, a guy who makes millions of dollars a year should be an athlete and have to do all the facets of his game when he really only needs he only really should have to do one. Like, shut, you know, that'll be the best part about it all is those idiots will shut up.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at, too. I mean, you know, it's just kind of like the DH talk, the universal DH talk is pretty much come to me to as similar as the Pete Rose talk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's over with. And I'm sorry, I'm going to put this out here and suggest, whether you agree with me or not, I'm in some baseball Facebook groups. I should invite you. I'll send you invites later. I don't know how long you'll last before. I was gonna say I don't know how long you'll last before you actually just quit them because I don't know. People got pissed at me because I'm like, I copied that thing about you know, the allegations for the underage ventures he was having with young girls back in whenever, and you know, of course, I got all the jackasses. Oh. So you're saying that everybody in the Hall of Fame was a saint and that we're only going to vote on everyone and put in the Hall of Fame because of their personal actions? I go, and I, you know, I just responded easily and shut them down quickly was, number one, we, you know, we need to stop putting we in it because we don't vote anybody in, okay? Shut up because we don't vote on anything. You can reach out to me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Tweet, you know, whatever. When Big Jack or I get the next MLB at fan invite, which is a survey house run by MLB, where they actually, you know, give you the opportunity to quote unquote vote for Hall of Famers, we'll send you the link, you know, so you could sign up. But, you know, again, we don't vote for anybody. And that was the point I was trying to make across. What, you know, and everyone's like, oh, your opinion. I'm like, it has nothing to do with my opinion. My opinion means absolutely crap when it comes to voting for the Hall of Fame and Pete Rose. The facts are the media votes for the Hall of Fame. The media puts everything out there. And when those allegations came out, who do we no longer see on TV? That's Pete Rose, who is never going to get voted in as part of, you know, by voters. It's Pete Rose, aside the fact that the commissioner has to make that decision. And with the way the game is played today, not even the game, but just the way sports industry is ran today and the media being such an influence and social media, he's never going to get in. So shut the hell up. Okay, get off the Pete Rose talk already. But back to the DH, I mean, I just want it to be done with. It makes the most sense, unfortunately, for this game in this day and age. When you've got a pitcher making – What is Greinke making, like $32 million a year? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, I think it's 34.
Yeah. So, you know, he's not – well, he's actually a pretty solid hitter, but he's also from a different era. But, I mean, when you've got Greinke coming up to the plate, especially at this age now, I mean, I'm an owner sitting in my booth. I don't know, not all owners watch the game anymore, but I'm the president, the GM sitting in the booth watching the game or in some really crappy disguise like Theo does, which I don't know how people don't recognize it's a fake mustache, but I'm sitting there and I'm watching my pitcher come up, and granted this would never happen against Aroldis Chapman. Are you just like biting your entire hand, not your fingernails? You know what I mean? I know you're feeling the same way if you got, you know, your Mike Trout or, you know, Manny Machado up at the plate. But when you've got your $32 million a year pitcher standing up at the plate, I don't want him to get beamed. I don't want him to get hurt. I don't want him to pull a hammy running down to first base. I definitely don't want him breaking his ankle, shagging balls in the outfield, you know. So I just think that the DH needs to be done with, and let's just implement it and get it over with. I'm not super excited about it. Still, once it happens, Big Jack, and I'm sure this will be you too, because I know you've watched a lot of NL baseball too, it's going to be an adjustment, you know, to no longer see that guy. But I hope that Madison Bumgarner gets the option. And that's the only thing I hope for, is that the manager has the option to put his pitcher in if the pitcher wants to. But the one thing you and I learned from going to minor league games in our first go-around was pitchers don't bat in the minor league.
Yeah.
So if they spend 6-7 years in the minor league not hitting, why the hell would I want him to come up to the major leagues and just stand in the box and attempt to bunt and then break his fingers because he doesn't know how to bunt right?
Yeah, because they don't teach him how to bunt.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you also have to look at it, I mean, on the plus side, you know, for you and all the other Cub fans, they'll actually finally have a position for Kyle Schwarber.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, of course, so what you're saying is it's Theo's fault. The whole COVID was Theo's plan. So he can get
to get the DH.
You know, it's funny. You know, the realization for me was Alfonso Soriano, you know, however long ago that was when we pretty much first started this podcast 6 years ago was 6-7 years ago. I don't remember when exactly, but, you know, was the fact that he was aging with the Cubs and it was time for him to go. I didn't really want to see him go. I know he wasn't loved and adored like, say, Ryan Sandberg or anything like that, but he was a great addition to this Cubs team at that time. And the Jim Hendry era was coming to an end, so that would have brought some change anyways. But, you know, I think he still would have been a good part of that Cubs team if they had the DH back then, except on 3-2. But that's another story.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's what ended up happening. I mean, he went back to the Yankees and basically was their DH. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, and I mean, that, you know, that, you know, that's what we'll see a lot of. You know, we'll see these guys who don't have a position or are just aging too much to play the field on a, you know, an everyday basis. You know, that's just what we're, you know, that's what you get at the DH position. That's just how things go. Or, you know, you get the guy, you know, who, well, Allen now, Giancarlo Stanton, who just can't stay healthy. You give him one job, go hit, you know. So, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, they got to get it, you know, get it done, get it over with. You know, the other big story that came out about this, and I don't know if you caught this one, but after this was all announced, Blake Snell went on his Twitch account. I don't know too much about Twitch. I just thought it was kind of a gamer thing. But he went out on his Twitch account and just pissed and moaned about how he's not taking a pay cut and he's going to get his. And if they try to cut his pay, he's not going to play. You know, Dan, you know, the old saying is you have to be able to read the room. And with the situation that's going on with as many people that are out of work, and I'm sure quite a few of them are baseball fans, is there a bigger idiot in the world right now than Blake Snell?
No, I mean, you just pissed off all 3,000 of your Rays fans.
Right.
Boom, boom. Sorry.
You know, I mean, you got a team that can't draw. Why are they going to go watch this idiot now? Because he's just crying. And then to top it off, to make things worse, Dan, apparently somebody did some research. Blake has already been paid a little under $287,000 for the year. And they haven't played a game.
Wow.
So we don't know, you know, what his lifestyle is or where he's spending his money at, but, you know, I could live on just what he's been paid right there. I don't know about you. Could you handle that, or is that a pay cut for you? I know your wife makes a lot of money, so.
Yeah, well, not as much as my sister-in-law, but, yeah, he he's due $700,000 this year. I'm sorry, $7 million this year. $600,000
yeah.
Is a signing bonus. So, I mean, not bad for sitting at home.
Right. You know, and it was just like, it was like, dude, I mean, you know, obviously as kids, you know, everybody probably heard this a million times from one of their parents was think before you actually speak. And I just don't know what the hell this idiot was thinking about. And it was just kind of like, dude, you're clearly the biggest moron out there. And, you know, now I know there were a lot of players thinking it, you know, because I know, like, Bryce Harper came out the next day and kind of supported him without really saying he supported him, because obviously he knows, you know, he can't get involved in that with the contract he just signed. So, you know, he was much more chosen with his words. So it was just kind of ridiculous that this guy came out complaining about taking a pay cut.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I get it. You're upset, but let me just tell you, Big Jack, he's in the second year of his 5-year deal. And that he signed at the tender age of 26. So he is 27 years old right now, and I'm going to chalk it up to that. But, you know, like you mentioned, Bryce Harper supported, you know, tried to get in on that conversation too. But I would think that with the amount of publicity that Bryce Harper's had, not just publicity, but experience with dealing with the media, that, you know, he is the same age. So, you know, you kind of got both sides. You know, you've got the, you know, it's funny because you have the veteran in Bryce Harper, who's got 7 years of experience, 7.159 to be exact, compared to Blake Snell, who's about 3.5 years, and is and definitely a hidden market, and we didn't really hear about until like the last couple of years. So, you know, I'm going to chalk it up to that. The interesting that I did, you know, you got to wonder, and again, the proposal and how that works, but, you know, how can the owners just bounce back and say that they're going to not pay the whole season? You know, I was under the assumption that's what insurance plans are for with these contracts. And not only that, everyone's contract is structured differently. So how can you just go in and say that? You know, you can't – you just – I don't see that there's a way that you could just do that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously we're not – you know, we don't have the information to know, you know, the ways this kind of works out. You know, basically it was just kind of, you know, I was just kind of basing my reaction on a guy who's, you know, already gotten paid quite a bit of money and was crying about the possibility about not getting more money.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually forgot there was one of the players out there mentioned that, you know, players make more money, but they also spend more money. And that just kind of made me think, you know, that if you're not smart enough to curb your spending when you don't have as much money coming in, you're just the biggest idiot as Blake Snell.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's true to that one football player, and I don't remember his name. you know, and this is a guy I should have wrote down, printed his picture, you know, saved all his info and just stapled it to my desk and then screenshot it on my save on my phone, because I mean this guy is a millionaire playing one of the greatest games in the world on a national audience every week, paid for his house and takes all of his money and invests it or saves it, whatever he has to do. So I'm sure he pays less taxes because he and his wife only live off of $55,000 a year. So I mean,
yeah, I mean, so obviously, you know, that's a pretty smart guy. Then you got the opposite guy who goes and buys a house in 15 cars. Dan, I'm not sure about you, but I've only been able to drive one car at a time, so I don't know why I would need 15 cars. You know, just maybe because I was in the mood to have 15 cars. So, you know, sometimes it's just stupidity that gets these guys in trouble. And you know, you have to kind of learn or be smart or do something. You know, hire the right money guy, basically.
Yeah. I can help.
But yeah.
I have an accounting degree, master's nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah. Call Dan right here, 646-478-3753. We'll set you up, or email him, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. He'll help you handle your finances. So, but yeah, and then the other, really, I just found this really kind of a strange article, and I didn't read the whole thing because the title was just really weird. And I get that, you know, writing the blog a couple times a week, I understand as a sports, you know, writer or person, there's not a whole lot to write about, but some guy, and I don't know if it was a Boston writer or what, actually put out an article with the headline being, "Is David Ortiz a Hall of Famer?" And I was just kind of like, what do you mean? I mean, he's easily going to get in because his numbers are good, and he was one of the most popular guys when he played, especially towards the end of his career when it matters. And I was just kind of shocked that was the guy he picked out to – they picked out to write about. I don't remember if it was a man or a woman who wrote the article. So, but, yeah, I mean, do you – because, like, I have no question that Ortiz is going in on the first ballot. Do you?
No. I mean, if you said Manny, I think that opens a big discussion, but not Big Poppy.
So, yeah, I mean, that was just – you know, like I said, it was so weird to me seeing it. And, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, how did you pick, you know, this guy? You know, I just didn't quite get it. Oh, okay, we're trying to find something to write about or, you know, whatever that works out to. But, yeah, it was just like, okay, you know, I mean, because I'm sure there's more interesting names on the Hall of Fame ballot that you probably could have, you know, probably could have came up with, right?
Oh, most definitely. But, yeah, you got to find something to write about. You got to find something to write about.
So, yeah, and, you know, that's just kind of how I looked at it. I was kind of like, well, okay, you know, you need to find the, you know, the guys and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I was just like, you know, there's got to be, you know, a better guy out there who just hasn't quite stumbled in or, you know, maybe ask, you know, if Larry Walker should have gotten in because, you know, like he got in with Jeter this year. You know, maybe, you know, you're just kind of asking the wrong question. But I was like, oh, okay. I don't know if it really fits the bill there. But, hey, you know, whatever works out for you. So, and then, now, we actually did have – we did have a live sporting event here yesterday. Dan, did you watch?
I missed it. No, we, I think I turned off the app. I don't know. I wasn't getting my notifications for NASCAR. So I actually, we had to go do something. So we were in the car and I had the race on because that one country station we have here, my wife listens to sometimes, and I guess that was what was on the last time we were in the car. So when we got in, they were talking about the race, and then my daughter fell asleep, so we just continued to drive around for her nap. You got to do that with toddlers. If they fall asleep in that car, you cannot get out until they get up. But, you know, we drove around listening to it. I don't know. I think it's still cool, fun to listen to a race, but it's definitely – you've got to know NASCAR. So, like me, it doesn't really translate as well. You know, I'm just listening for who's in what place. And sadly, I think Boyer dropped down to, what, 13th? when the race finished, where when I was listening, he was in like the fifth or seventh spot.
Yeah, he had some bad luck at the end. They actually had part of a sign, you know, I don't know if it was construct, you know, whatever kind of paper they used to put up on the walls on the speedway. One of the signs got pulled off, and he actually picked it up as he was driving past it. It got caught on the grill of his car. And when that happens,
no
you
luck.
Get directly behind somebody to get it to be blown off, or else your car's going to overheat and you're going to be done. And by the time he got behind somebody to finally get that off, you know, his car was pretty much done for the day, and he managed to, you know, to bring it home. Yeah, I think it was 13th or 14th. So
he's got no luck.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just the weirdest thing. You know, because, like, it happened to Denny Hamlin earlier in the race, but he only got a small piece of it, and he was able to get it off right away. Boyer just kind of got it and got stuck with it. So, but, yeah, interestingly, Dan, and I'm not surprised by this at all, the race drew 6.23 million viewers and did a rating of 3.7. It's actually the most watched race that wasn't a Daytona 500 since the Atlanta race, March 5th of 2017. So, you know, again, needed something to watch, and there you go. And it actually won't be long before you get to watch another one, because the NASCAR's doing 7 races in 11 days. And the next race is Wednesday night.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
well, you know, and I don't know who the announcers were on the radio, but you know, the guy brought up a great point, and he goes, you know, and he acknowledged the fact that what the regular person is going to come to NASCAR for, and I thought that was pretty cool. He didn't hide around anything, you know. He didn't pull the full on that everyone wants to see a good crash. But, you know, he mentioned that, you know, a lot of newbies, or, you know, he didn't say that, but a lot of new users or viewers to NASCAR kind of tune in because they want to see a car go sideways, so to speak. And, you know, kind of some of the other action that happens that's cool in an aspect, but very dangerous. And then that's what kind of you watch it for that, but then you end up getting sucked into watching the race. You know, for me, I would say I was kind of the same way, but you know, that first year we did the Yahoo Fantasy League, and then having a NASCAR guy on our show every Sunday for a little while, that kind of got me more involved in it and watching it, as opposed to just, you know, watching it to see someone, you know, do 30 flips and then jump out of the car and run around that they're on fire in their underwear. But, you know, but still, for me though, I enjoy the, you know, the regular tracks, but I love the road races. You know, those ones, I think, just, I don't want to say a little bit more skill, but they definitely take, I guess you got to say that they take more skill on the driver to really navigate those roads, as opposed to, you know, trying to pass a guy doing 600 miles an hour in a single loop. I know they don't go 600 miles an hour, but I'm just kind of exaggerating.
But it sounds good. So.
Well, you never know, Big Jack. You got to clarify yourself today, because, you know, even the president can't make a joke and then everyone's, you know, taking him serious.
So, but yeah, you know, in the end, Kevin Harvick ended up winning. It was the 50th win of his career. And we were actually a little off, Dan, there. Clint Boyer finished 17th. So
that was close.
Yeah, I knew he was around. I thought he must be, he was around 13th or 14th. But yeah, in the end, it was, you know, it was 17th. So yeah, they'll tee everything up. And, you know, like I said, quick turnaround. You know, they'll be right. You know, I believe it's Sunday, Wednesday. You know, it might be Sunday, Wednesday the next couple weeks. But yeah, they're gonna knock these races out to get caught up. So, you know, and obviously it's a smart thing for them to do with nobody else running anything, you know, take advantage and, you know, give the opportunity to expose some new people to your sport.
And that's really what it's all about.
Well, yeah, and then the oddest thing, and you'll get a kick out of this, is, you know, they did everything basically how they normally do it. And, like, it was kind of funny because when they wanted to interview a driver or something like that, they basically used the boom mic because obviously you got to keep social distancing. And they're, you know, they stand as far away from as they can, and they just kind of put the boom mic out for him to talk to him as they ask questions. And, you know, again, obviously they're being safe and they're following guidelines and all that stuff. But it is hilarious to watch because, you know, it's just something you're not used to. So, yeah,
well,
it was just...
Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Even the... Was that the post race where it was just him standing there?
Yeah, the post race, the pre-race. I think the only time they were close to a driver was when they were coming out of the infield care unit, you know, like because Jimmy Johnson had a wreck and had to go, so they talked to him. But, yeah, it was, you know, other than that, it was just social distancing at its finest. So, but yeah, and then, you know, it wasn't without, you know, the interest, of course. Chris Gale, who's the crew chief for Eric Jones, was actually suspended for Wednesday night's race because they found out that the car was found to have two lug nuts not safe and secure at the end of the race. So you get suspended for that. It also cost him $20,000. And then they suspended, was it some crew? Oh, no, they fined some crew chiefs. Rodney Childress, who is Kevin Harvick's crew chief, Chris Gabreth, or Gabe Hart, who's Denny Hamlin's guy, Paul Wolf, who's with Joey Logano, Chad Johnston, who's with Matt Kenseth, and Jason Ratcliffe, who's with Christopher Bell, each got fined $10,000 for having one lug nut not safe and secure. So I guess it's $10,000 a lug nut in NASCAR, Dan.
I wish I could be the guy to inspect that and get those signs.
Yeah, it definitely would be, oh, okay, well, this is loose. Pay me. So.
But, no, I mean, obviously you can't do that these days, maybe in the late 70s, 80s, or the 90s.
Back, you know, then they didn't even care if they had lug nuts on the car. So,
yeah. Well, it wasn't that. It was back when, you know, Winston was sponsoring all the races.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for the longest time, people who might not remember, it's actually the Winston. It used to be the Winston Cup for
mm-hmm.
So...
No, but I was very disappointed. I didn't realize that they were back on yesterday, but I would definitely have had it on. I had, you know, we're here in Chicago suburbs, you know, he's one way, I'm the other way. So we just, I don't know about you, but we had the massive monsoon yesterday and, it was due time for my dog's bathing. So, you know, I've got a mini poodle and a toy poodle. The toy poodle only takes about, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. But the mini, man, blow drying that boss.
Wait,
yeah, it takes a while.
What happened to the third dog?
That's a chihuahua. She goes to the spa, but I didn't get to her yesterday because the other two took too long. But, you know, I was watching just some random crap on Sling TV. So I didn't even realize the race was on. I would have had the race on. So I'll definitely try to tune in Wednesday night.
So, yeah, and then I came across this just before you and I got started today, and apparently the NHL has a proposal out to restart its season. All right, but what's interesting about it is it's only a 2014 format. So I don't know if or how they're going to eliminate teams. I would guess record-wise. But what they're apparently looking to do, Dan, and which was kind of an interesting setup, is they're looking for two places to play 12-team formats. You know, now they mentioned that Las Vegas would be a good area because the arena is linked up right to the casino, so they could have the guys in the immediate area and it would be easier to control and be much safer. Yeah. I don't know where any of the other sites would be located. You know, I know they've looked at some areas, but yeah, I obviously this is just the start of them. They're kind of like in the same place as baseball. They're coming up with ideas. They've got to run it by, you know, the NHLPA and all that stuff. But yeah, it looks like hockey might be a little bit ahead of basketball. I haven't heard much about the NBA. I just kind of assumed that both these leagues would go away and we'd start next year, but it doesn't look like they're giving up. Are you interested if hockey comes back?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool concept. I mean, I think they can knock it out pretty quickly and then get you to the postseason. But I mean, this is something that they should have been proposing, you know, looking into. Well, I guess you had to wait on what each individual state's governments are doing. You know, Vegas is a good spot because their governor just doesn't care. And I think she received a lot of backlash for it too. But you're right. You know, what's the second spot? Because you're definitely not coming to Chicago.
Right. Well, you know, and that's like even with the baseball stuff, like I saw that, you know, they're actually going to allow some of the teams to play home games. But, you know, we won't be doing that here in Chicago because the stadium, you know, they're not going to let anybody play.
Yeah. You're right. So I don't think we'll even have games, you know. The last update I got from Ticketmaster was your game has been postponed. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just a wait and see. But, you know, with the genius governor that we have, I don't see it happening.
You mean our genius governor who I believe is in Florida right now? Yeah,
the one who said we're not supposed to travel out of the state and there will be serious repercussions if you leave the state. But then the next day his wife and kids leave for Florida on a quote-unquote working vacation, whatever that means.
Because he was concerned because I think he actually said they got death threats. I don't know if I believe that. So he just,
Yeah. Well, and you get death threats, and you can't tell me that the death threats he received as of late were any different than any other political time death threats that he was getting previously. You know, people are always throwing that out there. So he's just full of it. He's running with his tail and his legs because he knows he screwed up. I mean, I hate to get political here, but if you're, I don't know how your media was or how your city was, but, you know, our place of great state of Illinois is very confusing. You know, the governor is the governor of the state, but yet, which is in Springfield, about 4 or 5 hours away from the city of Chicago. But every single press conference that JB did was in Chicago with the Chicago mayor. And for the first month of their telling us to stay home and to wear masks if you go anywhere, stay 6 feet apart from everybody, they did none of that. They stood next to each other. They weren't wearing masks. Everyone in their conferences were standing next to each other, on top of each other. Everything they did was just the complete opposite of what they told us.
So, you got to remember, he makes all his money here because his family is in Chicago, and I believe he's from the area. So,
yeah, but, I mean, you're the governor of the state, not the governor of Chicago. So he has to learn to remember that too. You know, because that was a big issue with Blagojevich was, okay, you're the governor of Illinois, not Chicago, and you're flying back and forth from Chicago to Springfield is causing our tax. You know what I mean? We were paying for that. He wasn't. So, yeah, we pay for the criminals that the people vote in. But, you know, and again, I don't like to get political, but those things aren't political. That affects everybody. And I mean, you know, everybody's wondering why, you know, certain generations are, you know, hit Florida for the pandemic and didn't listen, but it's because nobody knows the truth. And I mean, there was commercials on TV that said, who's susceptible? Everyone over 65. So when you take a bunch of 20 somethings and tell them that only 65-year-olds are susceptible, or if you have diabetes, the rest of them are like, I'm not 65 and I don't have diabetes. I'm going to spring break for spring break. I'm going to Florida for spring break.
Well, yeah, you know, and again, it's just all about, you know, I mean, it's all about being smart, is, you know, just what, you know, just what you need to be. And, you know, I mean, you can't help but if you get sick, and, you know, it's just one of those things.
No, I mean, you know, how long can you run and hide? You know, it's, you know, COVID kills, the regular flu kills. So does that mean we're going to be on lockdown when the flu hits? You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But, you know, we're kind of on the last segment of the show, and I've been a little behind, but, you know, I've been trying to keep up with my Dark Side of the Ring because it is by far probably the best wrestling series you could find on TV about anything. I know there's that one doc on Netflix with The Rock and that very old documentary. I think you were picking it up one day watching it.
Oh, yeah, Wrestling with Shadows.
Yeah, I mean, it's decent, but, I mean, this one is just, it's awesome. You know, if you were a fan, still a fan, not a fan at all, I think this show is awesome, but I don't agree with the views of Vice Television, so I just wanted to put that out there, the owner of that channel. But
who owns it? I don't even know.
You know, if you watch the commercials, he always comes up and he wants to tell, you know, he's going to save the world. And, you know, his late night show that follows Dark Side of the Ring, the guest had, you know, the host had AOC, I forgot her name, you know, whatever, and telling everyone in America to boycott going back to work, you know, after this is over with, because, you know, they don't care about the country. They only care about getting Trump out of office and, you know, things like that. So it's kind of stupid. I mean, you know, you want to be a socialist and you want everyone to just sit there and suck off the nipple of the government. That's not you, but that's not how I want to live. But, you know, the show is, the Dark Side of the Ring is great. And I wanted to get your take on the UWF. And I'll give my little background. So after Big Jack trained me and I really started to get into wrestling, I was all things wrestling. And, you know, if I were still into it, this era would be awesome right now, like we've talked about, with, you know, wrestling on TV literally every single day. And it's not just the WWE, it's, you know, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, that new one, AEW. You know, I mean, wrestling's on every single day of the week now. It's awesome if you're into that. I'm not. But I was back, you know, when I was trying to come up in it, and UWF was given to ESPN Classics. So that was one of the programs I recorded every night. I don't know if it was every night, but I watched that every day too. And I didn't know a whole lot about the organization. I just knew that Rick Knight said he worked there. So at one point, you know, I mean, they did some cool things, I guess. They had a lot of star power. But, you know, it was just kind of crazy to read about that or watch about that little promoter guy who, at the end of the day, kind of reminded me of wrestling's Exotic Joe in a roundabout way. But the thing that cracked me up most about it was, I forget if it was just Mick Foley or someone else asked, how would he die? you know, if he were alive today, what would he be doing? Or, you know,
oh yeah,
his death, you know, and they go, well, he did what he loved doing. And the guy's like, what? Hookers and blow.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, the promoter I worked with a lot, Rick, alleged that he worked there, and that was always one of his big punchlines for everything was hookers and blow. So to me, I was like, so that's where that came from that guy. So I kind of want to get your take on UWF and your history and knowledge of the company.
Yeah, well, you know, I had watched it quite a bit when it first came on, because again, yeah, I was still watching anything and everything that was wrestling related. I believe, if I remember correctly, they actually turned me down from working there, but, you know, we would have just been jobbers. That's how Rick Knight was when he worked there. He did some jobs for them when they were in the area. But, yeah, you know, I mean, like anything else, you know, it was exciting because it was new. And, you know, he wanted to be competition, and it looked like he was building the roster to actually be competitive. Because, I mean, you know, you saw the names. I mean, you know, Dr. Death and Jimmy Snuka and Cactus Jack, and, you know, there were, you know, some of the other big names that worked there.
Paul Orndorff.
But, yeah, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know, like, the inside or the backstory until, you know, this came out. We had always heard that he was a little off and, you know, there were a lot of drugs involved in that bed. But, you know, you don't really know. I mean, you hear so much stuff that, I mean, you know how the wrestling business is. You don't know what's true and what's not true. So it was humorous to kind of get the insight and see how, you know, it all actually worked out. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the guy, you know, his vices got the best of him, and, you know, he met a, you know, he basically was broke and, you know, met a pretty sad ending. So,
yeah, I don't know. It was, his tale was pretty cool. You know, I mean, I think, like I said, I think this is a great show. It literally brings up, hence the name, Dark Side of Wrestling. But I mean, I think you have to have to the fans that watch now, you know, even my generation doesn't know a lot of this stuff. So I think you, if you're into wrestling, you need to be watching this. They need to know the history of the sport. And, you know, the one thing I'm really taking away from it, and you would definitely have more knowledge in this section, but, you know, I mean, Vince revolutionized and brought the industry together. Things still weren't as great as they could have been up until maybe now. But from watching a lot of this stuff, even when it goes back to Moolah and a lot of that stuff from those old promoter days, I mean, I'm not going to say she was, because you got both sides of the tale with her. But, I mean, the way the industry was, you know, back 60s, 70s, I mean, it just seemed like every promoter was essentially kind of a scam artist and a kind of a, in a roundabout way, a crook, you know.
Well, you know, that's where the reputation comes from. You know, there are and were very few promoters who are on the up and up. The funniest story I ever had was, you know, I got booked for a guy in Wisconsin. And, you know, we agreed on our payday, and, you know, I showed up, and the crowd was quite sparse. I believe there were maybe 30 or 40 people in the arena, and he was expecting a lot more. So, you know, you always kind of start wondering about how your pay is going to be. Well, you know, being the promoter and the wrestler, of course he's in the main event. So he goes out and he does his thing. He comes through the curtain and he collapses. And his wife goes, oh, my God, he's having a heart attack. So, well, I'm a normal, whatever you want to call it, guy. I'm like, all right, somebody go call an ambulance because this guy's dying. You know, I mean, I know very little about how to save somebody from having a heart attack. All of a sudden, he gets up and he's fine because he can't afford to pay for the ambulance ride, and he was just trying to fake us out of a payday.
Wow.
And it was just kind of like, you honestly think that was going to work? I mean, how you know, were we going to let you sit there and die, or what did you think we were going to do? So, they're all, you know, they're all pretty shady. I mean, I heard, you know, stories from guys I worked with where promoters have left. You know, they've gotten the gate, and then they're like, you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to run to the washroom or something, and they flip out a back door, and you never see them again. And all of a sudden, the show's over, and you're looking for your payday, and the guy's gone. So, yeah, it was – and, you know, I'm sure – you know, didn't you always kind of get that vibe from Rick Knight when you were working with him, that he was a little shady?
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah, pretty much. But the advantage, I don't know, I had this weird relationship with him that he didn't have with anybody else. So,
yeah.
And I think it, you know, I think part of it was because I worked with you. So I don't know if, you know, and then Ed and Corey, so he liked those guys. I don't know if that's it, but I rode the truck with him, you know, back when he used to rent the truck and he used to drive it with the ring. And, you know, I rode the truck with him everywhere. You know, I was there to load the ring.
Oh,
I was there to, yeah, I was there to unload the ring. And I was probably the first person that didn't BS him. So I think he liked me a little bit. You know, I'm not going to say he liked me more, but he had a different relationship with me than anybody else, because, you know, the first time he asked me, he goes, legitimately, I want you to tell me the truth. What did you think? And I go, you know, I'm like, you know, the talent could be better. You know, some of the things could be better. I go, the work, you know, everyone's there. Everyone's excited to be there. I go, you had 5 tag matches tonight. He goes, yeah. I go, every single match was basically the same. I'm like, no BS. I go, everyone did double suplexes. Everyone did double hip tosses. Every match had this in it. And I go, to me, I go, you know, that's kind of boring. You know, it's the same crap over and over. I'm like, you had 6 matches, you could have just had 1. And he just looked at me. So, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they, the company once had a big meeting and told us, all the workers, how we needed to start thinking outside the box and we need to up our game and this and that and whatever. And I didn't say anything in front of the boys, but I sent him an email calling him out and telling him that it's complete BS. And how are you going to tell all of us to work outside the box or think outside the box? I go, when you just literally rehashed the dumbest storyline in the history of wrestling. And that's the handing the tag belt to the champion and his opponent for the big show.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
Well. So, you know, he had a, but yeah, you're right, because in 2 minutes. But you know, like you said, he did have his shadiness. You know, the air conditioning was never turned on until the doors were open. So,
yeah.
And it was 100 degrees out and we were setting up the ring. We were, you know, you better just take everything off and wear your gym shorts to set it up.
And don't forget, in the Oak Grove building, he refused to pay the heat and it got turned off. Well.
Yeah, you know, it's hotter in there, so it's going to sell more water. We're not selling enough drinks. Add some more salt to the popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Roll out.
For some radio.